Welcome to Let's Talk, a show designed to spread the word on health, lifestyle, and disease, spirituality, history, and topics that are relevant for today's world. Join us now as we spread the word on Let's Talk.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, so glad you're joining us today on Let's Talk. My name is Tassine Watson, and I'm your host. And today we have a very special guest in our studio, and we're going to be talking about a very sensitive topic. It's the topic of death and suffering. Where do we find God in all of our sufferings? Does God care about us? Does He care about the things that we go through? Is He concerned? And where do we find Him? Today we have Rod and Mary Cassidy in the studio. Welcome, guys. It's so good to have you here, and thank you for being willing to share your story today. Before we begin, we're going to have a word of prayer. Loving Father, thank you so much that we can call you Daddy, Abba Father. You care about everything that concerns us. Thank you so much that you are right by our sides to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to uphold us in our weak moments. God, thank you that your love for us is still the same, even through our dark days. And what's more important, thank you that you understand the pathway of suffering. You yourself are acquainted with affliction and with suffering. And by your stripes, we're told that we are healed. And God, heal us. Today, we pray for this story. We pray for healing for ourselves and for our listeners today. Be among us, Lord, and give us your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a very interesting story this morning, and we're going to let Rod and Mary share their story.
Well, that morning that Brianna was heading to work, just like every morning, I would go out with her that morning. It was raining, and I was always pretty concerned about her driving, not her, but those in our area. And so that morning I told her as she left, I said, just be careful. And she said, Mom, I'm always careful. And I said, it's not you that I'm concerned about, it's the other drivers. And so she said to me, you need to let me go. And to me, as I look back, that was almost kind of prophetic that she said that. So I told her I loved her. And I said, well, I'm going to hold on tighter now. And so she got in the car, she left, and as I watched her leave, as every morning, I would pray for her as she'd go down the hill. So I had to get ready to go to work that morning, and as I was at work about 11:45, 12 o'clock, I started thinking about her because I knew she was going to be getting off of work shortly at noon, and she always called me to let me know if I needed anything where she was working. You know, she could pick me something up. But about 12:15, I didn't hear anything from her, and I texted her father, and I asked him, have you heard from Brianna at all? And he said, no. So I went ahead, and I then texted her, and I thought, well, maybe she had to work overtime, but again, she always would let me know. Didn't get any response from her. So I just went on about my work, and about 1:40, I got a call from the hospital. It was a social worker that had called me. And he asked me if I was somewhere where I could talk. Of course, I said yes. And I said, just tell me what you want. He said, are you sitting down? And I said, yes, what is it? And he said, well, your daughter's been in a car accident. And so I said, oh, my God, is she okay? He said, well, she didn't make it. At the time, I thought, what? So I'm trying to, you know, I'm in my workplace, so I'm trying to keep composure. I called my husband, and I said, told him what they told me, and I said, you need to call, because I told him I couldn't talk to him, I just couldn't discuss it, you need to call, and he's expecting your call. So yeah, I called my husband, and he told me, that's fine, I'll give me his number. So I'm trying to find a pen to write it down to call him, and I gave it to him, and then that's when my husband called the hospital.
So when she called me, it was, of course, startling and benumbing.
Of course.
But I thought that there must be some mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I called the social worker at Enlo, and he shared with me what he had told her. Again, it just disbelief.
Yes.
He did tell me that I can speak to the CHP that was on the scene,
mm-hmm.
that was there in the hospital. So he gave me the number, and I called her, and she confirmed what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I told him, well, we will get down to the hospital as soon as we can. My wife's coming back from work to pick me up, and then we will head straight there.
Mm-hmm.
And the immediate sense was just disbelief, but I just was shaking. Couldn't believe that this was the case.
Of course.
My wife came home, and right before we left, I felt my need to call and talk with a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Pastor Bill and had prayer with him before we left, and that was encouragement to me. And so we left. We got down to the hospital sometime probably 2:30, quarter to 3,
mm-hmm.
Friday afternoon, the 19th. They escorted us into a room, a social worker. And
was there a chaplain available?
No,
okay.
There was no chaplain. And the CHP was there, and then they went over the details mm-hmm. on what took place at the crash site. They gave us the impression that, from their perspective, what took place.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did actually happen?
From what we know, as they were telling us, you have eastbound lanes and westbound.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman was moving toward Paradise eastbound, and our daughter was coming down the westbound lane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the CHP had told me they got a call shortly before 11:30
mm-hmm.
that there was a driver that was driving recklessly.
Mm.
He almost had hit them. And then just moments later, a couple minutes later, they got the call back from the driver who put in a 911 call saying that the collision occurred. And so the officer rushed up to the scene, and she was the first one there.
He crossed over the middle.
Apparently what had happened was mm-hmm. he had crossed over, lost control of the vehicle, and crossed over the meridian. And because of the unequal level of the lanes, he went airborne.
Okay.
It was like a ramp.
Wow.
And just connected with our daughter.
So you have beautiful 19-year-old...
coming home from work.
Coming home from work and fatally struck on the side of the road. And I know that that is very traumatizing. Tell us, during 9/11, I heard the words repeatedly, where is God in all of this? Where is God in the midst of suffering?
Well, for us that night, when we went home, it was dark and it was cold, and the animals knew that something was wrong. Of course, I still had some blood on my hands from her hair. And that question did come to us, where was God? I was traumatized. I felt tormented. We went to lay in her room, and I felt like, as I'm sure every mother hearing this will have the same feelings, which is, was she alone? Was she in pain?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just laid there because I just thought I wasn't there for her.
Mm.
And that was really difficult for me. You know, so, and my husband, of course, he experienced also the same.
That first night, we wanted to, especially my wife, to be as close to Brianna as possible.
Yes.
And that's why we slept in her room.
Mm.
Of course, you can't sleep. You know, you're just an emotional basket case.
Mm.
Just constant weeping. But through the exhaustion of the whole day, the body was worn out. And sometime I fell off about 1:30, I'd say 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for an hour or so, not long. And as I went to sleep, this was all on my mind. I woke up a little time later, and the thought came back into my mind,
mm-hmm.
this grief, and it just seized me. Now, keep in mind, this is the first night, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get through this?
Right.
And I thought, I'm going to go insane with this.
Mm-hmm.
And right then, the Holy Spirit impressed me with 7 words out of John 11.
Right.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
And I just kept repeating this. I am the resurrection and the life. And I'm your very present help in trouble through all of the struggles that we go through in life. Christ is a very present help in our situation. And that helped me get through the night.
Amen. And I know you were sharing that at the scene, there was a nurse that showed up and she was able to be there with Brianna. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yes, about 2 days later, because during this time, I felt tormented, not knowing there was all these uncertainties.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept on asking God, give us something.
Right.
Well, 2 days later, a lady tried to get in touch with me on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hadn't been on anything, but I went to check my emails, and she had tried to get a hold of me. I didn't recognize her name, and I thought I left it. And later on in the day, it was bothering me. I thought, well, maybe she knew Brianna. So I went and I responded.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wrote me and she said, Mary, I was with your daughter. I was with her. I was holding her hand when she died.
Wow.
So I thought, thank you, God. Because I felt like 20 years I had been a mother. And in 30 minutes, my identity had been taken from me.
Hmm.
So I got in touch with her, and she spoke to my husband and I on the phone for over an hour to tell us the whole scene. And that's when she did talk to my husband about that.
That is amazing how God allowed a nurse to be by your daughter's side at her last moments. So she was not alone.
No. And she was not alone. And actually, it was very comforting to hear this part of the story because, as I'll get to in a moment, it indicated that God's fingerprints were all over this tragedy.
Beautiful.
When she got to the scene with her husband, he went and checked on Brianna, couldn't get in. He went to look at the other driver. She then went on the passenger side of our daughter's vehicle and came in through the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
She's a trauma nurse, a mother of five, as well as a Christian.
Wow.
God had it all set up. When she got into the car, she started taking her vitals as they were dropping minute by minute. But after a few minutes, she noticed that as a trauma nurse, the end of life is coming, she felt. And it's like she heard a voice. She thought it was an EMT. People were stopping and praying, which is another miracle in itself, just being impressed to pull over the side of the road and pray.
Wow.
And so while this is taking place, she thought maybe an EMT or somebody had come in, and she heard a voice speak to her. Kimberly, calm down. Call my daughter by her name. And when she looked and she didn't see anybody, she thought, it must be the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And she said right then she could sense a presence of peace in the car.
Praise God.
And she was so calm at that point and thankful that God's Spirit was there with our daughter. Those closing moments.
Amen. So God is with us, and we can see his fingerprints everywhere. We just have to look for them. And every time I see an ambulance pass, I make it a point to pray for that person because I know firsthand that person possibly could not make it. It is so important for us to remember those that are in the ambulance and in an accident, how amazing they just stopped and prayed. What a blessing. So I want to ask you, if God is so powerful, and I hear this from a lot of agnostics and a lot of atheists, if your God is so powerful and if he loves you so much, then why? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Why?
Well, this is a question that people grapple with and have all the way down through time. From our experience as believers, we understand that we are in the midst of what is known as a great controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. And as we know, in times of war, there are casualties on both sides. God is with us in those tragedies. He understands what we're going through. But he also has created us with free will choice.
Right.
And there are times he does not interfere. We understand from Scripture that he's in control of everything that's taking place on earth. He's omniscient. But he doesn't interfere. He allows the events of human choice to play out. And we have an adversary that is out to kill, steal, and destroy.
No doubt.
And to bring about destruction. In our daughter's case, we believe, as I mentioned, about God's fingerprints all over this. Earlier that morning, the eyewitness, Kimberly, her and her husband were at Costco, and they have never been in Costco where they've been delayed three times. They had to go through three different lines before they exited the store. She says, that's never happened. when she told us that, it was evidence that God was stalling for them so that they could be on the scene of the collision at the exact moment when it took place and be there for our daughter. So in the midst of this, though the tragedy occurred and God permitted it, he removed momentarily his hedge of protection to allow it to take place because he foresees a much greater good that will come from this.
Amen.
And that's very comforting to know.
Amen. Amen. We can't always understand God's ways, but we can trust. When we can't trace his hand, we can just trust him and know Amen. That he has our best interests at hand. So I want to ask you about coping. How does one cope through something that's so traumatizing? Where do you find encouragement? And what advice do you have for someone who's out there? Maybe they've lost a loved one. I've met two gentlemen within the last 2 weeks. They both lost their loved ones for over many, many years, and they tried to commit suicide. So encourage someone out there. Where do we find hope in the midst of suffering? How do you cope with this?
Well, for us, we see how, again, God's hand is in our life at all times. Prior to this accident, my husband and I had been going through a very trying trial financially, because my husband's been out of work for some time. And we thought, Lord, why aren't you answering us? Why is this lingering and lingering? But through this time, my husband and I, we would pray three times a day. We were reading script. We were just holding on tight to the Lord. As we look back now, we see that the Lord allowed that to strengthen us for what was to come. Because I believe that if we hadn't gone through that experience, there's no way we could have coped this far with our daughter being gone. There's just no way.
So God prepared you.
He did prepare us. He did prepare us.
Beautiful.
And so from that, we feel it was our foundation to get through this.
Amen.
So that's right now, that being the foundation, coping with it, it's very difficult. You know, it comes in waves. We had people tell us that that's what would happen, that it would come in waves like it has. At times we, you know, just get up and we think she's going to come walking in. We don't think it's happened. You know, it's just, it's surreal is what it is.
Right.
So that was definitely a foundation for us.
The ways I have coped with it as a father is there are three things that come to mind, Tess. Through this experience, since it's going on the 10th week now, the sufferings that I have experienced as a man and as a father, it helps me taste a little bit more of the sufferings that Christ went through for us. When tragedy to this degree hits, we're not consulted. It's not according to our choice. We're just plunged into this suffering.
Right, right.
But through it, we can taste a little bit of the choice that Christ made for us of the sufferings he went through. Secondly, it has given us a privilege to know that others are ministering to us and empathy. They're expressing their empathy, the human touch for us. And we've had a lot of support, prayers and cards and people just reaching out to us, which is a big help. And the third thing that I would say, how we have dealt with it, is that it promotes Brianna's legacy. We have set up a website for her, and we are using this as a platform, not only to, of course, as parents, we love telling about our daughter's life history, but also to use that as a springboard to reach into the hearts of others who are suffering and going through a trial or a tribulation or a struggle that they can't figure out, to reveal to them how great our God is.
Amen.
And this is what he did with our daughter's life. And we have the assurance that we are going to see her again.
Beautiful.
And we just need to hang on and wait patiently. And we have an eagerness now to hasten the second coming.
Amen. That's beautiful. And we know that day is soon, don't we?
Absolutely.
And God has promised that with the same encouragement that we receive, we can reach out to someone who may be going through the same thing, and you are able now with reality to minister to that person because you've been there, you've done that. And what kind of words of encouragement do you have for someone that is out there who may be suffering, who may be grieving, who may be going through a divorce right now? Some of those same symptoms of hurt and shock and grief is tugging at the heart. What can you say to encourage that person today?
I think for me that what I would say is hold on tight. Don't let God go. Don't feel that he's not there, because mm-hmm. he is right in the midst with you, going through it with you.
Amen.
I also, the advice I would give is a verse that had come to me. I hadn't really been able to open my Bible mm-hmm. to concentrate in reading.
Right.
And it really came home to me that how important it is that we put scripture in our mind prior to these things happening. Because I just couldn't concentrate in reading, mm-hmm. but I could talk to God.
Amen.
And a verse that he brought to my mind was Isaiah 55:8, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways," mm-hmm. declares the Lord. And that really brought comfort, because it was like the Lord was telling me, you might not fully understand.
Yes.
But you don't understand what I know, and I know everything. And so it was a way for me to just put my life in his hands and to just rest in knowing that he does know.
Amen.
And he's going to get us through this.
Amen.
So that would be my advice for those who are struggling right now.
That's beautiful. Like the three Hebrew boys, he didn't prevent them from going in the fire,
right.
but he was in the midst of the fire with them.
Absolutely.
And what happened? They were not even burnt. He said, "When you pass through the fire, I will be with you."
Yes.
And the fire will not kindle upon you, for I am your God.
Absolutely.
I am your God. Mm-hmm. I will be with you.
Yes.
And one last thing, Tess, I'd like to share in this. As I mentioned, there's great controversy. There are two sides.
Mm-hmm.
God needs witnesses, mm-hmm. because he cannot defend himself with all the attacks of Satan for 6,000 years. So he needs witnesses, like in a court of law, to stand up and say, no, this is not the way our God is. He is a loving Father, and he will work all things well in the end. And I'd like to leave our viewers or our listeners with this last thought. Not a sighs breathe, not a pain felt, not a grief pierces the soul, but the throb vibrates to the Father's heart.
Amen. God knows all about our hurts and all about our pain in all our afflictions. He is afflicted.
That's right.
And in the story of Job, we saw the author of affliction and suffering and death. It wasn't God. It was Lucifer. It was Satan himself, the originator of sin. He was the one that inflicted upon Job all the sufferings that he went through. And Job, in his humility, was able to say, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Amen.
Job worshiped the Lord. He rent his clothes and he worshiped God, and he sinned not. And friends, that's our hope for you today, that in your suffering, in your pain, that you would sense the love of God and you would recognize his presence with you. And today, Rod and Mary, would you be willing to pray for our listeners today?
Absolutely.
Someone may be going through the same thing. Someone may be lonely. Someone may be going through grief and pain, the pain of divorce and separation. Please pray for them today.
Our gracious, loving Father, what a privilege it is that we have been plunged into this ministry of suffering.
Mm.
We live in a world of pain and hurt and grief. But Lord, you use certain of us to minister to others.
Yes.
To give them a picture of how great our God really is.
Amen.
That he is right there in the midst of the fire. He will go through us, as Isaiah says, in the water. He will not leave or forsake us. And so, Lord, we can claim these promises and be the means of bringing hope, encouragement to people who are suffering,
yes.
whether it's a divorce, a job loss, a loss of a loved one, as we've gone through, or even other trials that we don't have any clue. Lord, we know that you are there with us, and that you have a plan and a purpose, and that there is a day coming. We thank you, Lord, that there will be no more suffering, sickness, sorrow, or death.
Yes, Jesus.
And we can eagerly look forward to that day. So minister unto those who have been listening. We thank you for this opportunity, and we lift up the name of Jesus, knowing that he will be glorified through it. In the
Amen.
Precious name of Christ, we pray.
Amen. And if someone wants to reach you, how may they contact you? I understand you have a website. What is that website?
It's BriannaCassidy.com.
BriannaCassidy.com. And is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And they can go to the website, and there's a place that they can reach us that comes into our email.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless
you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk here on KKXX. We want to remind you that this show is a listener-supported broadcast. We do appreciate your prayers and gifts as God leads. May God truly bless you today and always, and please send your donations. You can go online to myletstalk.com and submit your donations, comments, and prayer requests.
Is the face that I see in the mirror the one I want others to see? Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've given to me? My heart's desire is to be like you in all that I do, all I am. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your me, but use me the way you will. Help me to hold out a heart of compassionate grace, a heart that your spirit fills. May I show forgiveness and mercy the same you've shown it to me. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? me.